All right, those intro songs just make me want to break a move, but I won't do that. That'd be torture for your eyes. If this is your first time with us or you have no clue who I am, my name is John Carlos and I'm one of the pastors here at Hoboken Grace. And you're like, if you're a pastor, why have we never seen you? Well, I actually am almost every week. You'll find me at our Hamilton location. And that's the beauty of what God has been doing in our church family. Now we have three locations, but still one church, one family. And I'm excited to be here. It's always like a homecoming or like a high school anniversary when I get to speak here without all the drama, with all the, he looks a little fat or, you know, what happened? What is he growing over there? You know, it's just exciting. And I can remember like 4 years ago, this was like where I first got the opportunity to speak to you guys. And back then, and it was funny, I was remembering this week, the first time I got to speak here, I spoke a total of 10 minutes. It was so intense for 10 minutes. That was it. And someone was walking out the door and they were like, man, and I'm going to share this and I hope I don't get in trouble for this. But as I was walking out the door, they were like, you know, if that was like a drinking game, I didn't even get a buzz. And I was like, well, I thank you. No, you comparing my speaking on Sunday morning to a drinking game. Not sure how that fits in, but awesome. I'll try and do better next time. But today I'm excited to share with you our second conversation in this series titled God is for Us. And last week some of you came here and you were expecting us to talk about vision and talk about, you know, where your vision for your life and how that interacts with what God wants for your life. And we threw a curveball at you and changed it up completely and said, well, for a few weeks we've been promoting this, but we're actually going to talk about something completely different. And really it was God just moving. It started with Pastor Chris, just him moving him in a different direction. And as he spoke to the speaking team and to the staff, we were like, yes, we need to kind of hit the pause button maybe. Because for the past few months and series, what we've been talking about is tons of things that we need to implement or things, principles that God lays out in his work, which are amazing, beautiful, great principles that will change our lives, that transform the way that we approach God, that we experience God, the way that we relate to the people around us, how we value them, how we can begin to love them the way that God intended us to love them. But God was saying, that's all great. But let's talk about who I am as well. Let's give some space to just encourage each other. Be filled with the thought, not of all these things that we necessarily need to do, but with who I am, what God is doing for us, the fact that he is for us. And I don't know about you, and what we want to really do is to continue trying to work on those things. Because if I'm sincere, I haven't implemented the technology-free zones in my home, or I haven't taken that one day of complete solitude to go off and speak to God. And what we want to do during this series is for you to be encouraged and be working on those things and see how God continues to draw you closer to him. But what can happen when you begin to focus on all these things that you have to do, or that you want to start to do, or how you want to experience God, and all the things that can, you know, play into it, and you want more, and I need to do this, and I need to change that, is that you begin to feel like you're chasing after God. Like God is running away from you. You're doing all these things. Okay, if I do this, I'm going to experience him. He right here, I'm going to experience him. And then you get there and you're like, wait, where did he go? Oh, maybe over here. And you move and you do something else. You do something different. And where is he? It's like he's hiding from you. He's running from you. Or maybe you still are exploring this idea of God and your friends have told you, oh yes, God is this and that. And you can experience him by doing this. And you try something new and you're like, but I'm not finding him. I'm not experiencing him. Is he running? And you start to get a little bit exhausted and you out of wind and you're like, God, where are you? You're not here. You're not there. I want to find you, but it's like you're chasing, running after an elusive God. It's like a corn maze. I don't know about you. I do not like corn mazes. I grew up in Indiana. I lived there for 2 years, and all there was a lot of cornfields and a few people. And every week on the news, all you'd hear was, child runs into cornfield, never to be seen again. Some of you know what I'm talking about. So I was like freaked out. But that feeling, that sensation that you're constantly trying to turn a new corner, trying to see God, to find Him, to pursue Him, can begin to weigh on you. Sometimes it even starts to feel like you're being rejected. It's like when you are calling that girl and she doesn't answer. And you text her, hey, it was great to have dinner with you. She doesn't answer. And so you do the mature thing and you go and try and friend her on Facebook. That's the next step. Or you start leaving voicemails. Hey, you know, dinner was great. That conversation was amazing. If you're leaving voicemails, it's the number one sign that you're a stalker. No one leaves voicemails anymore. Stop. She really is hiding from you. She's scared. But our God, our amazing, wonderful God, He's not running from us. It might seem like we're the ones who are trying to chase and pursue Him, but quite the opposite is true. He's running towards us. He's running towards you. He wants you to know that He is here. See, God pursues us first. Before we ever start to think about the fact that we're pursuing, before we start to experience rejection or think that we're alone, God is pursuing us. Look what it says in John chapter 6, verse 44. It says, "For no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them to me, and at the last day I will raise them up. For no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them to me." See, before we ever started pursuing, He pursued us first. Our Heavenly Father is pursuing us, wanting us to know that He is there, that He is present, drawing us to His Son, for us to know that He is there. He's not hiding, He's not running, He's right there. And we say this phrase, for those of you who've been here for a while, you hear us every single week say that it doesn't matter where you've been or what you've done, that God is pursuing you. Because it can be so easy for us to forget the fact that our God is actually pursuing us. That our God actually is the one who is seeking a relationship with us. That there might be a lot of things that we've done, circumstances that have happened, but that He's right there, right here, present. And as Jesus Christ was carrying out His message, what God had sent Him to do, in the book of Luke chapter 15, there's this story that He tells. It's the parable of the lost sheep. Maybe you've heard it. And He's talking with different people around Him, and those who were the religious ones and knew the law and had a relationship or knew who God was said, "Why are you hanging out with the tax collectors, with people of dubious, questionable character? I mean, they're notorious for doing wrong. Why would you hang out with these people?" And Jesus talked to them and said, "Wouldn't you, if you had 100 sheep and one of them got lost, wouldn't you leave the 99 that were secure, that knew you, that were following you, that were okay? Wouldn't you leave them to go after that one who was lost, who maybe is in despair? Wouldn't you go after the lost one?" Of course you would. You would. And not only would you go, but when you found it, you'd rejoice. You'd be filled with joy to know that you have found your lost sheep. And what God was trying to tell him is, hey, there's a lot of people who know me, who are following me, and that's great, but I'm pursuing those who are still far from me. I'm pursuing those who find themselves in difficult situations. And the incredible thing is, when he's telling that story, what I would think or expect is for him to come up to the sheep and say, "You dumb sheep, why did you run away? You know, you're secure with me. Why would you go and wander off?" But he doesn't meet the sheep. He doesn't meet us with anger. He meets us with love, with joy. "When I was making all sorts of decisions, questioning all sorts of things, God didn't say, 'John, what are you doing?' and hit me over the head with a staff. No, he brought me in. He brings every single one of us in so that we can meet him, so that we know that, you know what, despite what you think is true," and sometimes this is one of the biggest lies and one of the biggest things that can put a wall in between the fact that he is pursuing us and the acceptance of that pursuit, is that we think that we have to earn our way back. We think that we have to do something to make it right with him. Or we find ourselves and we think that we need to find the solution before he'll approach us, before he'll want to meet us. Before I can know of God, I have to fix all these things. And guilt, honestly, I'd say is a dirty word, because what it's doing is robbing you from experiencing the love that God has for you. That it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter what you've done. He is after you. He loves you. And maybe for some of us that have been on this journey a little longer, you're like, "Okay, I understand that. I've begun to trust God. You've know that he's found you and you've found him, and so you've begun to trust him and you've started to take small steps on this path that leads to life. But you begin to feel like it's all on you. You begin to feel this weight that you need to change something, to fix something in order to hear him, to experience him. Even as we've been talking about the past few weeks, hey, you need to, you know, find a way to manage your time and your energy so that you can love people. And you start doing that. And you're like, "But where is God? I'm not experiencing him. I'm feeling more and more alone." God doesn't stop pursuing us the moment that we find him. The moment that we decide to trust him. He continuously works tirelessly for us to experience him, for him to reveal himself to us. Look what it says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. "For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him." God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. He doesn't stop when we encounter him. He continues to work in us to reveal to us all the great things that he has in store for us. And sometimes we don't feel that desire. Sometimes we might think that we don't have the power, but we do. He's working in us. And maybe one of the reasons that we feel that way is because a lot of us are really good at pretending. We're really good at pretending like we have it all together. And so there you are, struggling, having a hard time, and you ask your friend, "Hey, are you experiencing God? I started doing this." And they're like, "Yeah, yeah, of course. It's awesome. We're tight. Homies." And you're like, "Something must be wrong with me. What am I doing that isn't working?" And it's not. He is there. And we need to stop pretending. We need to start being a little bit more honest. Like we were talking about on worship night this past Friday, and Chris was sharing the fact that sometimes when you're tired and you're trying to push forward and you're holding up that staff and you're carrying everything and you're serving and you're giving everything, you're trying to do all these things, you need to tell someone, "Hey, can you help me? I need you to hold my hands up. Can God use you in my life to do that?" And we need to also be present and available and say, "How can I help you? What are you going through?" Because God is working through us, not only for our own good, but for the good of those around us. He doesn't stop pursuing us. He continues to pursue us continuously, all the time. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7 through 12, it says this. No, the wisdom we speak of is a mystery of God. His plan that was previously hidden, even though he made it for our ultimate glory before the world began. But the rulers of this world have not understood it. If they had, they would not have crucified our glorious Lord. That is what the scriptures mean when they say, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. But it was to us that God revealed these things by his Spirit. For his Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. No one can know a person's thoughts except the person's own spirit. And no one can know God's thoughts except God's own spirit. And we have received God's spirit, not the world's spirit, so we can know the wonderful things God has freely given us, constantly trying to reveal himself to us. Not only is he pursuing us, did he pursue us first, but the moment that we found him, he continues to pursue us, and he gives us his own spirit to see and to know what is good, to please him, to continue on this journey. He's not hiding from us. He's not leaving you alone. He is present. He is here. Know that he is for you, that he loves you, that we might make mistakes, that things might not turn out the way that we expected them to turn out, but that he is working and that he hasn't stopped. If you think for just a second, close your eyes and you think back a few years back, maybe 2 years, maybe even 2 months, you look back and you start to think through how God was working. Maybe you didn't notice him at that point, but when you look back and you see and you think of where you were, the difficulties, maybe celebrations, and there was these small glimpses that he was there, he was present, that he wasn't leaving you alone. And maybe that's why it's so important that we do create that space, not only for us to pursue him, but for his Spirit to reveal to us how he's working. He is working. He hasn't stopped working. Take it in. Remind yourself. Help your friends, remind them of how God, our amazing, great, incredible God, is for them, working and pursuing their hearts. This past week, I was reading a book by a Spanish author. He's a pastor in Madrid. And it was a story about a boy and a tree and how this tree loved the boy. And it went a little bit like this. This boy would come and play on a frequent basis with the tree. He'd jump on the limbs and the branches and swing. He'd eat the fruits from the tree. He'd climb up the trunk of the tree. He'd rest in the shade of the tree. The tree loved this boy. And one day the boy went off. And he didn't return for a few years. One day the tree saw him in the distance and got excited, got really, really excited and said, come, eat of my fruits. Let's play. Let's have fun. Come stay. Stay here with me and rest. And now he was a teenager. He said, I can't. I need money. There's iPads, iPhones, things that I have to buy. The story didn't say that, I added it. But he said, I need money. There's things I want. And the tree got sad and said, I don't have any money to offer you. And he thought, but if you take my fruits, you can go sell them and get the money that you need for those things that you want. So the boy climbed up the tree, took all the fruits, and went off and sold them and didn't return for years. Then one day the tree in the distance saw what was now an adult that was approaching him, but he recognized his friend. He said, come, come, play on my branches, climb the tree trunk, rest in my shade, stay here with me. The man said, sorry, I'm a busy man. And I want to build a home for my family. I want a family and I want to build a home for them. The tree again got sad and said, I don't have a home to give you. But wait, you could use my branches. They're sturdy, they're strong. Take my branches and build a home. He didn't hesitate, got the chainsaw out, cut the limbs, the branches, was off on his way again. More years passed, and the man came back, and the tree said at this point, climb my tree trunk, rest in my shade, stay here with me. The man said, I've just lost all hope. I want to go to a foreign place, meet new people. I can't take it anymore here. And the tree said, I have no means for you to travel. I can't help you with that. Then he thought, oh, you could take my tree trunk, cut it, carve a canoe, and then travel. Guy's eyes lit up. Perfect. Cut the tree trunk, carved the canoe, was on his way. All that was left was a tree stump. More years passed. Now is an old man who was approaching the tree stump. And the tree stump saw his old friend and said, I'm sorry. I have nothing else to offer you. Gave you my fruits so you could make money, my branches for your home, the tree trunk so that you could travel. I have nothing else. And the old man said, I don't need anything. I just want to sit and rest. And the tree stump said, I can help you with that. Come, stay, and be with me. When I first read the story, probably like you, I was like, how can a tree love a boy? Trees don't love people. But what happened next is that you start thinking and you say, why? That kid, that man didn't deserve any of that. He was taking advantage of the tree. Why would he didn't deserve those things that were being given to him? He's awful. Anger. And yet, that undeserved gift over and over again is what our Heavenly Father offers us. Grace. The ultimate pursuit. There isn't anything that you have to do to impress Him. There isn't anything that you can do to intimidate Him. He freely wants you to experience His love. For you to know that He is there, that He pursued you, that He's pursuing you, and will continue to pursue you if you accept that gift. And as I'm sharing this, I want to be clear, because one day there will come a point that if we reject what that pursuit, the fact that God is working towards us and wants to reveal Himself to us, there will come a day when that pursuit ends. But the amazing and beautiful thing is that we're not there. That we're not there. But today we actually get to embrace and accept that pursuit. That you might be tired because of the journey that you've been on. Maybe there's things that are happening today in your life that you don't understand, and God is telling you, I am for you. I am here. I love you. And there isn't anything in your life that is greater than what I can offer you and what you can experience in me. Will you accept it? And as you accept it, you begin to look forward to the beautiful life that exists in our Heavenly Father, in Jesus Christ. Would you guys pray with me? Father, I thank you so much for the fact that my brokenness, the things that I had done, were not a barrier for your pursuit, but that you pursued me despite all my faults. That you continuously love me even when I sometimes make the wrong choices. Dad, I pray that this morning each and every one of us would be encouraged and know that you are here that you are available, that you are present. I ask that we might experience you in an unbelievable new way. That for those who've been chasing, have been running, and are tired, they'd find rest. For those who are in pain, are suffering, they'd find healing. For those who are in discomfort, you'd comfort them. God, there isn't anything you can't do. So I pray, God, that we open our hearts to you and accept this free gift that you have given us. This beautiful gift that we get to enjoy. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus, because you are powerful and because you love us. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.